Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Warren Buffett, considered by many to be the greatest investor of all time, has just had his worst year ever. Elie Wiesel, Holocaust survivor, ethicist, author, lost his entire savings with Bernie Madoff, and his charity lost over $15 million. Every single week in February, more than 600,000 Americans filed new claims for unemployment insurance. The number of Americans on food stamps has reached an all-time high. Animal rescue facilities are flooded by abandoned dogs and cats. Huge numbers of animals are being euthanized, and shelters and rescue facilities are going out of business. Over 100,000 U.S.-based not-for-profits are expected to close their doors this year or next. The fortunes of the American economy have reached an alarming state, and the pace of the decline is precipitous. And it's not just the American economy at stake. It is the synchronized nature of the global downturn that is so extraordinary. Some say the entire Western banking system is at stake. Now, if you are like me, this is the news that dominates your lives. Week in and week out, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this is the news that floods cable and network channels, that screams its truth in large words across the pages of newspapers and blares at us from our radios, our computers, and other devices. After a week of being drenched in such news, you can be forgiven for having come to the conclusion, as you may have, that humans believe we are in charge of this planet, that D.C. and Wall Street, Hong Kong and Tokyo are the only kingdoms that matter. But the thing is that you have come here today and turned off those sources of news and come to this place on this, the first Sunday of Lent, to hear tell of different news. Now, there is no camera trained on this story, no glittering upmarket high-tech studio, no beautiful newscaster covering the story that you have come to this place to hear. Out of camera shot, beyond the hearing of the microphones, news is being made. There is godly activity afoot on the earth, in the desert, where Jesus is wrestling with the devil, with the world, with himself. There is news. And here's the news from the desert. Jesus wins. That's the news. He enters that desert empty. He is empty-handed. He has no food, not a book to keep him company, no companions. He is empty, and the desert is empty. In Paul's words, we brought nothing into the world. We shall take nothing out. Jesus enters the desert like that, with nothing, empty-handed. And even if there had been a news camera present, they would have been disappointed, because he emerged from the desert looking no different than when he entered, empty and empty-handed, just as poor and a great deal hungrier than when he had entered 40 days before. He emerged empty, but this is the thing. He emerged laden down with good news, bursting with news to proclaim. The news, God is in charge. This past Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, all across the world, in China, in Africa, in Italy, in America, all across the world, Christians remembered and enacted this very emptiness. We entered churches and we came away as marked men and marked women. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And our foreheads were marked with ashes and a cross, and we left our churches marked men and marked women, marked by our emptiness, marked by our mortality. We wore our emptiness, and we proclaimed it. And we dared do this, because it is from this Lenten desert that the news has been leaked that our emptiness is met and matched by God's fullness. The news from the desert, from the wilderness, is that Wall Street is, in the end, a charade, barely a blip. It is nothing against the expanse of God's eternity. And it is then from this place, this house, God's house, that we look out upon the news of the moral wreckage of our financial systems, the news of the collapse of institutions, institutions we had once thought of as sturdy and stable and secure, institutions which in the blink of an eye have just crumbled. But from this perspective, we can see what others have not seen, that God's truth endures forever and ever. So I suspect that if you're like me, you have come to this place, this morning, this time, to tune into our source of news, our gospel, to hear the reports that those who are poor in things are yet rich in spirit, the lost are found, and the dead are alive again. We have come to this place, this holy house, to proclaim what we just claimed in the Lord's Prayer, that the kingdom and the power and the glory belong to God, not to Pharaoh, not to Herod, not to the United States of America, not to Rome, not to the great financiers of the world, not to the rulers of this present age. Not either to the power of fear, or the power of hatred, or the power of violence, or the power of hunger. The kingdom and the power and the glory, the fullness, these things belong to God. And to Jesus, who said, when the storm raged around them, fear not. It was this very emptiness, Jesus' emptiness, that shook an entire empire and has shaped and challenged the world across two millennia. He came with nothing, no weapons, neither for conquest nor even for his own self-defense. No wealth, no power, not even a place to lay his head, empty. And yet for 2,000 years, he has filled our human hearts. He has satisfied our deepest longings. He has taken away the sting of death. He has crammed this earth with heaven. The news from the world is bad, predictably so. but it is a passing report. On this first Sunday of Lent, we subject ourselves to the emptiness, to enter the desert, that we might there meet the fullness of our God. We have buried our alleluias. We have invited you to join us in our Lenten discipline of reading and eating and becoming full, gorging on gospel, on good news, that it might enter our bodies and become a part of who we are. And we have hung in the Gordon Chapel an exhibit of paintings by peasants from Nicaragua, peasants who lived through a time of terrible social and political upheaval, who themselves, by every measurement of the world, were empty, but who were filled with God. And beyond that exhibit, underpinning it, holding it up, explaining it, there is a story, a true story. The story of a Nicaraguan priest who was, by all accounts, a good and gentle man. One day he was surprised to find himself in jail, a political prisoner. Surprised, but also afraid. For the men who had rounded them up in the dark of night, who had broken into their homes and roused them from their beds and marched them to jail, those same men stood outside with their big boots and their heavy weapons, and they were scary men. The Catholic priest was not, in fact, a political revolutionary. He had never handled a gun. He preached nonviolence. He did own, however, to preaching a revolutionary gospel, a gospel of justice and of mercy, a gospel that challenged the Somoza dictatorship. So much so, so afraid were they of this unarmed priest that they put him in jail. The days in jail passed slowly and painfully. The men behind bars were ravenously hungry, but that was nothing, nothing compared to their ache that they felt for their families. They had reason to believe their wives, too, had been rounded up and jailed. And then there was this. They were terrified by the prospect of their children on the streets, parentless, fending for themselves. When Holy Week arrived, these peasants from Nicaragua, they and their jailed priest, they decided there then to celebrate communion. They had no wine, no cup, not even water. They had no plate, no bread. So they practiced a communion of the empty hands. The priest told his fellow prisoners, "We have no bread, no wine, but we will act as if we had." And he held out his hands, his empty hands, to the person next to him, and placed his hands over theirs, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take, drink. This is the blood of Christ poured out for us." In a holy silence, in that unholy place, they fed on Christ in their hearts by faith with thanksgiving, practicing a defiant and relentless hope. They who were hungry became full again. Remembering that jail full of Nicaraguan peasants and their empty hands. Remembering the hungry today of Kenya and Sudan and their empty bellies. Remembering the elders among us who are terrified by empty retirement accounts. Remembering the families of soldiers who are away from home, some of whom will never return, remembering the emptiness of those homes and those hearts, remembering too our own emptiness, our own bare mortality. Let us gather then to share communion, a communion of empty hands, a communion without bread or cup, a communion of relentless hope by which we proclaim that the world's bad news is met and matched by God's good news.